Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, with a great joy, we have the opportunity to gather again and open your word and receive such important instruction from you. Wherever we are, it always seems like the best place. And in the book of Numbers, as we work through these prayers in the Bible, we just see our desperate need for you and the problems with pride and all of these things that we are so familiar with because we're still in these bodies of flesh. But help us to learn from Moses what he did right and from what he did wrong, and Korah and the others who were in a rebellion and so forth, Lord, and help us to kind of put ourselves in the picture of all of the parties here again this morning and learn from this, Lord, that we wouldn't have to make the same mistakes that were made in the past. And yet we find ourselves needing reminding. And so thank you for, again, allowing us to look at your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we moved all the way up to one more chapter, and now we got another problem. I mean, Numbers is a great study, isn't it? Now we got a rebellion from cousin to cousin. We had a rebellion a couple chapters back with Moses' sister and brother. Jealous of him, and now we've got a cousin jealous of him. And just notice the rebellious nature here in man. Verse 16, or chapter 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar. Izhar is a brother of Amram, who is Moses' father and Aaron and Miriam's father. So this is a cousin of Moses. Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Abiram, now, they're both from the tribe of Reuben, so they're not really in the priestly aspect, is not part of their rebellion, but they've joined here. So there's three ringleaders of this rebellion here, and that's Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel. Now, look at this. They gathered 250 of the leaders. You know, always when a rebellious group forms, they want to get as many joining them as possible. And if you get some big names with you, you know, that makes your case maybe more strong, I would think, or at least they think. But they gathered 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. So these are not idiots they've got here. Men of renown. These are best of the best in the group, and so to speak, of this 2 million people or whatever there is there in this large gathering. And verse 3, they gathered around against Moses and Aaron and said to them. Now notice how foolishly their assessment here is the situation. You take too much upon yourselves. Here it is. For all the congregation is holy, every one of them. Wow. That would be like us saying, you know, everyone in the United States is a strong believer, right? Yeah. They don't need the Bible. They already know the Bible. They don't need anything. So they're saying, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do they need you, is what they're saying. Why, they say, what their words are here is, why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? So they're jealous of the leadership position of Moses. Pride leads to envy, leads to jealousy, it leads to rebellion, and here we have it all right here. Now Moses, what does he do when he heard it? He does the right thing. He falls on his face to the Lord, really. He's going to turn this whole thing over to the Lord. He's not going to strike back. This is such a great example of returning good for evil. If you did it yourself, you would return evil for evil, because you can't do it apart from the Lord. You can't return good for evil apart from the Lord. It's not in us. And Moses spoke to Korah and said, all right, tomorrow the Lord will show you who should be the leader. Isn't that good? Let the Lord show him.
Yes.
Don't say, look at my credentials. He called me and I'm the leader. No, he doesn't do that at all. He just says, okay, let's gather tomorrow. And the Lord is obviously leading him in this. Take your censer. You want to be a leader? You want to be a priest? You want to burn incense before the people? All right, bring your censers, all 250 of you. Bring your censers, put in the incense in them, and tomorrow the Lord will choose the Holy One. Then Moses chides his cousin Korah a little bit. Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it a small thing that God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them? Now just think about you. Are you jealous of other people who are ministering to the Lord because they got a bigger ministry than you and they seem to be raised up more than you? And do you think, well, who are they anyway? Why should they be raised up higher than I am? They're not even pleased with the opportunity that's given us, even in a lower position here. So they want more. Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him? He's not even in your complaint system here. Why are you upset with him? And Moses went to call Dathan and Abiram. They're the two Reubenites, but they won't even come out of their tent. So they refuse to come up because he's calling them up and they refuse to come up. So Moses goes on, is it a small thing that you have brought us up? Well, they said, is it a small thing you brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey? Now, notice how far off they are. They think everybody is holy, and they're calling Egypt, that place of slavery, a land of milk and honey. Oh, my goodness. But you see the protesters today, you know, they don't have any clue what they're even protesting about, right? They're just rebelling. Same thing here is happening. Now, Moses was very angry. But he says to the Lord, he doesn't say to them, do not respect their offering. And he's justifying himself here a bit. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them. He says, I haven't done anything to deserve all of this problems. So he kind of rebels himself too when these things come up. I can understand that. But he's still taking it to the Lord. Take your rebellion to the Lord. That's certainly okay, but don't take it to everybody else, right? Take it to the Lord. So let each take his censer and put incense in it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord with 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each two with his censer. So every man took his censer, put a fire in it, laid incense, and they came to the door of the tabernacle of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Korah gathered all the people, all the congregation of his followers against the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now notice what happens. Amazing what happens. Then the glory of the Lord appeared. We'll have that twice in this account. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. So here's the blessed Lord. He even lets the rebellious ones see his glory, right? Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. So here again, God wants to wipe them out, right? Now, what does Moses do? Go get them. Burn them, Lord. No, he goes into intercession for them. What a heart. But it's so encouraging for us. Here we are in a prayer group, and how important it is to pray. So Moses and Aaron, then they fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin, and you be angry with all the congregation? So what a heart he has for the people. Yeah, one man sins, but don't kill everybody. God said he wanted to do away with all of them. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram. So they didn't come, so he went to them, along with the elders of Israel following him. Then he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sin. And when they got away from the tent, Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. That's a good testimony. Verse 29, if these men, these rebellious guys, Korah and his followers, die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. So this is going to be the sign now. But if the Lord creates a new thing and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up, wow, with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Boy, God does a pretty dramatic illustrations here of what is happening, isn't it? Verse 31, now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men of Korah with all their goods. Now we'll get in chapter 26 that this did not include the children. God was merciful there. But everything else in of these guys swallowed up. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from the assembly. So people cry out. And now God isn't done with them, though, yet. He says, a fire came out from among the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. So you think you, says hot shots, you want to lead the group? Here's, they got burned right here, the 250. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, tell Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, to pick up the censers of the blaze, for they are holy, and scatter the fire some distance away, and hammer those censers as a memorial. So they do that. It says, to be a memorial to the children of Israel, that no outsider who is not a descendant of Aaron should come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he might not become like Korah and his companions, just as the Lord had said to Moses. Now, it still doesn't end there, because now a plague is going to break out among the people. And now we have Aaron told, go stop the plague. So we see him running now. He runs to the congregation who is dying. And I love verse 48, because it says, and he stood between the dead and the living. Think of that. Now, does that not describe you and me with regard to the saved and unsaved? Do we not stand between the dead and the living? Well, he did. This is a different kind. This is a plague of physical, but I'm talking about spiritual here, of saving and unsaving, where we are. So the plague was stopped. Now, those who died in the plague were 14,700 besides those. So it's about 15,000 people were taken at this point. So that's a pretty good group of people, wouldn't you say? I mean, we think about, oh, how many people were killed? I mean, you know, several hundred. That's a big number. But here's 15,000. So Moses, Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and the plague, for the plague had stopped. So here we have such a perfect example of rebellion, don't we? For the wrong reasons, but it all from pride, right? And we want to go against the Lord. We think we've got the answer, and he should recognize us. He should recognize me and set me on a pedestal because I'm so great. And the other people doing this aren't really worthy of doing it anyway. So how wrong that is. And so God responds, doesn't he? So he wipes them out. Then he starts to wipe out the rest of the people because of the thing that is kind of widespread, I'm sure, in too many people's hearts. But then we see Moses and Aaron interceding, and we see them even then going to stop the plague. God used them to stop it. So God has given us the opportunity to stop evil, hasn't he? In terms of prayer, in terms of coming against the evil one. So let's pray this morning, however the Spirit would lead us, and pray for our nation. Pray for the leaders. We're told to pray for all leaders of the kings and those in authority, and to be using this time as the Lord would leave us, and remember how important prayer for the unsaved is always, because that is one of the biggest issues. Anything other than that is still, a lot of those things may be in the Lord's will we want to pray for, but few of them are more important than the eternity of a soul, right? So, Father, we thank you for, again, showing us the pride problem and the jealous problem, the envy problem, the covetous problem, and then the rebelliousness even in our hearts, and how we have these tendencies. But you have given us victory over them as we surrender them to you. We can't surrender in our own strength or do control ourselves in our own strength. Self-control is from you through your Spirit in us. But we can have victory. And in fact, we've already can look at ourselves because of what you have done as more than conquerors. So Lead us now in this time of prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just wanted to close with a reminder of the fact that in today's little account, we had the statement, the glory of the Lord appeared in verse 19, and then again in verse 42, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And so what is the glory of the Lord? And to see how the glory of the Lord appears even in the face of rebellion, in the face of dissension and all of that. And this song by Terry Allman, we may not know it, but the words are great and the music is great. I'll play it in just a minute. Oh, the glory of your presence, we, your temple, give you reverence. So rise to your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace, as your presence now fills this place. Oh, the glory of your presence, we, your temple, we give you reverence. So arise to your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace, as your presence now fills this place. So arise to your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory to your embrace, as your presence now fills this place. Hallelujah. Give him all the glory. So let us play this and sing this together if we may. Father, we do want to give you glory. We want to acknowledge your presence. And Lord, help us to remember that you have promised you'll be with us till the end of the world. And as we go forward out that door, Lord, that is the mission field, Lord, right there for each one of us, Lord. And help us to shine for you today, Lord. Help us to be in prayer for those you put in our path that we can know or think that they do not know you yet, or maybe we've even witnessed to them the gospel message, but there's been no turning in their lives yet, that we pray for them, Lord. Thank you for meeting us here. We lift up a few that are not here, Phil Malaby and Barry Boyd, Lord Max back in East, and Lord Mary Lisa up in Sacramento area, and just different ones. Nahum used to come, Stephen Smith, and just different names, John Pyle, way back before COVID and all. But Lord, just draw each to you, and may we honor you and give you praise and glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.